The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decisions. Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. Helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor, and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
And welcome back to Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cordasco. We have a great show planned for you today. Here's what's affecting your life and your wealth. We're going to continue our analysis of President Trump and the Republicans' tax plan, the Better Way plan. I'll explain the president's mindset, where it is today, and how it could help the country, and what it means to you. And specifically, the border tax. It all ties together, and it does mean something to your life and your wealth. We'll also talk about investment power of my favorite social media platform, Snapchat. But joining me now is my favorite Brigantine Beach realtor, Marie LaPera. She's my go-to person when it comes to the Shore community and what's happening with regards to sales, the economy, and rentals. She's a realtor in Brigantine, New Jersey. You can find her at marielapera.com. Marie, welcome to the show.
Well, welcome. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks. Everybody calls you Hat Lady in Brigantine. You have your signature hat, which is wonderful. You're always dressed to the nines. You look fabulous.
Well, I always tell my husband I'm glad it was a hat and not a handbag, or I would have been the bag lady.
I always worry when I come to see you because I just feel like I'm disheveled and you are dressed to the nines. But you are a consummate professional. You do such a great job in your world of real estate, to the point that there you were on Action News over the weekend, everywhere. It seemed like every hour on the hour they had a microphone in front of you. And obviously you're very you do much better on TV than you do here on radio because you have a face for TV. So there you are with your hat. You're giving them feedback on what's happening within the real estate market. And you were also on Good Morning America. So I thought I got to get you on the show. So I appreciate you for coming on and joining us today. And I know you're busy. So thanks for your time.
Never too busy for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. This past weekend, the Shore was bustling. There was half hour to 45 minute waits at restaurants. It was nice to see. Is this weather related or do you think it's a Trump effect?
I think it's both. I think consumer confidence is up. Certainly the weather plays a factor. President's weekend's always been a really busy weekend, bustling weekend at the Shore. People had cabin fever. Now that the weather broke, they're out. They were on the beach. They have some money to spend, and they're looking to either buy or rent so they can enjoy and make new memories with their friends and family.
Let's talk about that. Some seasons, they call it a renter's market. Some, it's a buyer's market. Where are we today, and you know, how are those two correlated when it comes to vacation communities?
Actually, that's a good point. What we're seeing is a lot of our buyers are coming in, and they're actually moving up to higher-priced properties because they see the value in renting for a few weeks. Not everybody can come to the Shore for the entire 3 months. So if they have weddings or they have graduations, they're looking at their property now that they could do a 1 or 2, 3 week rental, you know, before June and September, get some pocket money, pay their expenses, and still enjoy the property. So we're seeing that, I'd say, 3 out of 5 buyers now are looking that if, you know, anything happened, they could always rent the property. And so, naturally, they'd like to be as close to the beach as they can.
Okay, so they're doing a dual-purpose property, meaning
meaning
now they're already in, or they're looking, are these first-time buyers?
There are some of them are moving up buyers. You know, they like Brigantine. They see the possibility for a bigger home, but they'd like to offset some of their expenses.
Gotcha. So they're saying, hey, we get enough of family members here. You know, summertime, we need something bigger. And for that added cost, we can get some cash flow going. Interesting.
Exactly.
Great.
And the renters that are coming in are, since Philadelphia is so close to so many potential renters up and down the Jersey Shore, especially in Brigantine, the dual families, extended families are coming. If they can rent a 5 or 6 bedroom home, they can have grandmom and grandpop down to the grandchildren.
Gotcha. What's the demo of both? For example, I find that in my practice, it's, you know, if people ask me what the market's doing, half the time I don't know, right? It's it's very little of helping somebody with their wealth, right? We're about your life, your wealth, right? That's the name of our show. And,
sure.
And, you know, for example, in giving people solutions to do with their money, it ultimately comes down to what is going to give them the happiest life. And
exactly.
I find, right, a beach house, a mountain house, a vacation property is a toy, right? I don't ever, as an investment guy, can tell you it's a great investment. It is, from a dollar standpoint, it's a fabulous investment. And actually, I call it priceless for what it does for family memories and pulling people together and getting everybody together in a less stressful environment.
When we bought our first property at the shore, we appreciated it for what we were able to do and have there. Mm-hmm. We didn't look at it as an appreciative property.
That's right. Yep. And so you took it for what it is, right? It was
exactly.
It was something other than that. And it's developed a lifestyle for you and probably has taken your whole family and brought it somewhere. But to kind of pull this back, I'm finding that I'm probably almost one or two a month giving advice and coaching, because we do a lot of lifestyle coaching, on how to go about making that first-time purchase or whether or not to knock down and build bigger or to buy bigger. And it's a lot of baby boomers. So my
yeah.
question to you, what's the demographic of the buyers? First-time buyer, those moving up. Can you give us the stats of what that individual or that couple looks like?
Sure. From sitting open houses, especially during the summer, over the last 8 years, people come in. One of their first remarks, we're just looking. In 3 to 5 years, we'd like to do this. In 3 to 5 years, our children will be out of school. In 3 to 5 years, I want to sell my primary residence. Well, the 3 to 5 years has happened. People are coming here. They sold their primary residence. They may stay in Brigantine, go to Florida or Arizona in the wintertime. The first-time home buyers, they just want to get their feet wet. We find people now that put off having children. They got their careers established. They're trying to buy a townhome, be able to rent it a little bit, be able to use it. They're still working.
Mm-hmm.
Once people start to have children, before they're in college, they're now buying to get the children. I'm just going to say used to Brigantine because we don't have a boardwalk. You know, we're not spending X amount of dollars every night on the boardwalk. We have a lifestyle. So I know my family and your family also have everything to do in Brigantine that they could possibly do. And they meet the friends. They go to the yacht club. They go to the rowing club. So the lifestyle for the summer, our kids never wanted to go anywhere except come to the shore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
profile, just to, mm-hmm. there was an article in one of the magazines, and it says Philly really owns the shore. People from here hold most of the property there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the demographics for the Brigantine community, we have people from Philadelphia, Orlando, Cherry Hill, Westchester, and Marlton. That seems to be our demographic.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeing a lot more New York license plates, and I think people are coming in because they want some nightlife. And what they see right over the bridge, fine restaurants, shows, boardwalk events, they're coming to Brigantine instead of going to the, maybe where they went as a child.
What I'm seeing, it's interesting because it's just been within the past year or two. I'm seeing as many Florida license plates now.
Mm-hmm.
They actually trump the New York plates in that. The Atlantic City Airport is right there, so you can fly, you know, back and forth for very little money down
exactly.
to Florida, back, and just as you said, there is a winter life that you can have, or a fall, spring life you can have if you leave Florida to come back, because you do have all of that entertainment that's right there. Now, what I find myself doing in my practice is that I'm not biased to one beach, right? You love Brigantine. You're the poster of Brigantine. As soon as you ride in, you see your picture with the hat, and you're one of the early stops on Realtor Row. For me, in really being objective and as a fiduciary to my clients, one thing I do is I really, really dig into asking why.
Mm-hmm.
When buying at the beach or the mountains or whatever it may be comes up, and getting to the real root of it. And 9 times out of 10, it comes to family.
Yes.
Then you have to get into the family and the dynamic. So I would tell you that Brigantine makes probably 30% of my recommendations, with Ocean City making 30% and the Avalon Stone Harbor is making 30%.
It's a different clientele.
It might be. At the end of the day, they all want the same result, right?
Yes.
They want happiness, right? But I tend to look at the demographics of the grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
If it's grandchildren that are college years, how are you going to get them to want to come to the summertime, you know, and driving to where the action is from Brigantine isn't going to work. And
right.
I lay that out, right? And so then it's on the other side of the table. Somebody has to make a decision on that. If it's young kids and they want a little bit more activity, they don't mind spending money, they don't mind being bugged as grandma, grandpa for ice cream cones all the time or to go to the boardwalk, Ocean City's like gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
Helping somebody with their wealth over time, that's safe. If somebody likes to fish, they like to golf, they like a slower pace, they're looking to decompress, they have family members who love yoga and don't have to fight for a spot on the sand like you do in Ocean City, you don't want to get jammed up with limited restaurant choices because you have Atlantic City, which has got some of the most best eateries, as well as, you know, Brigantine has its good stuff too. And you don't want to be in traffic all day, then Brigantine's your call. And so that's...
I'm going to tell you how this played out.
Yep.
We sold a house in Brigantine to a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
He's since retired. His two sons are ER doctors. They're friends with other ER doctors. Six of them came. They bought a townhouse together so they could fish and surf. Since all but one is now married and bought a single-family house in Brigantine, the least expensive one, I think, was $500,000 up to probably $800,000. The mortgage rep wanted to know why these doctors are coming to Brigantine. He came down. Tommy, my son, took him a ride around the town. He came down the next week with his wife, and they bought a property on 12th Street for $990,000. He loved the lifestyle. So we're getting professional young families in town that like the convenience of the expressway, they like the low level of activity, and they're part of the community.
Let's talk about renting, because I'm hearing that rentals at the Jersey Shore, not just Brigantine, all the way down are off the charts.
They are.
What is causing that? Again, is it the Trump effect, or is this you know, the winter, you know, this warm feeling that we're getting in the winter because of the nice weather and everybody thinking they got to get a jump on the summer?
I think so. Plus, the consumer confidence is up. People are making money in the stock market. They have some discretionary funds. Gas is not expensive. They're coming down, and they're going back to their roots.
Interesting. So they don't want to get on a plane. They don't want to travel. They don't want to go to Europe. So we're getting folks that just want a simpler getaway.
They're trying to stay local.
Great. Well, that's... Yeah,
that's
didn't
what we
even
love.
Think about that. What does that group look like, the renters? Is it a whole eclectic mix of people, or is it baby boomers? Is it millennials all going in on a house together? Like
we don't have the CI or Avalon effect with them with the group sharing.
Mm-hmm.
We have mostly, I'd say in the beginning, it's mostly the parents, the older parents that'll come down. They'll secure a place because they're retired. They have the time to go around and look. And the interesting part in Brigantine is we actually accompany the potential tenants to the property. We don't just hand keys out like they do in some of the other islands. So we get to meet our people. This way we know their needs. When they come into the community, they can go to the farmer's market. We have a concierge service for some of the higher-end people. They don't want to come down and have to go to the food store or lug, you know, toilet paper and paper towels.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure they bring their golf clubs. They can sail. There's mini camps for a lot of the children. And we also make sure that the properties that they're renting, if they're going to have little children, we can rent cribs, we can rent mattresses, you can rent beach sheets. So we're a whole package when that tenant comes in town.
I think Brigantine is actually the only actual island, right?
Yes.
Shore community that has its own golf course.
Exactly.
Amazing, right? And it's a beautiful one. It's a Lynx. Hey, Marie, thanks so much. That's Marie LaPera. You can reach her at marielapera.com. Thanks so much for all you do. I know you've helped many folks out that are radio people. Chris DeGaulle, you got him situated with a property and did your concierge service, made him feel good, and
yes,
you're giving us good, good information. I want to talk real quick, though, if I can, just throw this in there. From a financing standpoint, the low interest rates, are people borrowing based on low interest rates to buy
are.
Their properties?
Well, yeah. I mean, why use the cash? The jumbo loans, I think the mortgage companies found out that they had to lower the interest rates on the jumbo loans because people were paying cash instead of the high interest rates.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is a lot of folks who are buying could be cash buyers, but they're saying, hey, I'm going to borrow because I can and it's so cheap.
Yes. Now, the cash buyers are also putting their cash out there because they feel they can get a better deal. They can close quickly and there's no appraisal. Mm-hmm. There's no insurances if they don't want them. Mm-hmm. We just had a cash buyer yesterday. Came in, no inspections, no nothing, wanted the property. That's it. You know, I just want to add something, Steve, with people that may be considering renting in Brigantine or buyers that would like to rent their properties also. We don't roll up in the fall like a lot of the communities do, mm-hmm, because we really have a vibrant full-time residential population. Mm-hmm. And people can rent for New Year's, Super Bowl, you know, Thanksgiving, ladies' weekend. So we're very active, especially in the fall.
And Marie, you know, I have a rental property right near the property I have, right? And it's a nice location. It's a desirable location, the rental property. And I ended up, and this is the first season I'm renting it, I took a winter rental. And yeah, I know the folks, great people, they're in there. And I figured, oh, this is great. I got winter rental. Who would rent in the winter? And my
exactly.
property is on for rent by owner, you know, home away. You know, it's on the VRBO thing. I got hits throughout the whole winter.
Right.
I mean, legitimately, I lost money renting to somebody who happened to be a friend, and they're raising their house, so they had to go somewhere, and so I feel good about helping out there.
Right.
But the other side is I was shocked at how many weeks throughout the winter months, and I'm like, who would want to come to Brigantine in February? But there's something going on. There's people coming down from New York who have a show.
Yeah.
They want to see a comedian, and they
exactly.
want to stay on the water somewhere, and I'm amazed at the way the world has evolved today. That
and with the limited rooms in the casinos that closed, the prices are hefty, mm-hmm. so they can go over to Brigantine and get a nice weekend or a long weekend rental for half the price that they would at the casino.
Yep. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Marie. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the input. You've been on, you know, a few times with me over the years as I've been on different stations, but you're now on 990 WNTP. A lot of people are going to hear you. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking at the island of Brigantine, go to my favorite Brigantine real estate agent, the Hat Lady, Marie LaPera. She's easy to find right there on Realtors Row. But if you want to get her now, go to marielapera.com. This is the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cardasco. We'll be back
Thank
in
you,
just
Steve.
A moment. Thanks, Marie.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt here. Do you have a sound retirement strategy? Have you taken the time to sit down and write a plan for achieving your retirement dream? Sadly, most of us spend more time planning our vacations than our own financial future. I'm here to tell the Delaware Valley a name that most people probably already know. Steve Cardasco. You've been listening to Steve for the last 25 years. You've been reading his articles in the Philadelphia Business Journal, Forbes, TheStreet.com. Steve Cardasco and his team have just come out with a new guide for retirement planning called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's cfnplan.com. The guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, generating cash flow in retirement, tax saving strategies, ways to reduce stock market stress, investment solutions that match your risk, how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement, much, much more. And now for my Hugh Hewitt listeners, I strongly recommend you get a copy of Steve Cardasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cardasco. Let's talk about investments, IPOs. IPO is an initial public offering. We haven't talked IPOs and specific investments here on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. At all, really. Rare that we would go that direction. I figure we leave it up to Jim Cramer and those that like to play in the fast lane with individual stocks going up and down. But I thought I would devote some time today to an IPO that will be coming, an initial public offering that will be coming, of a company that has won me over. Now, this isn't a suggestion to buy it just because yours truly uses the product. And, oh, by the way, I don't fall in the demographic that should be using the product. Yeah, the average age of the user of this product is 13 to 24. Now, granted, if you want to use me as a test, I just used Facebook for the first time a few months ago. What's that tell you? I think we're close to a billion users or some wacky number for Facebook. I want to know if I was the 1 billionth sold, because I always see the McDonald's signs, and I figured, you know, who was that person that was the 1 billionth? So I was holding out as long as I could to Facebook because I wanted to be the 1 billionth. But lo and behold, I'm finding that this particular company that has an initial public offering coming, and are you ready for this? It's expected to be the largest U.S.-listed technology offering since Chinese e-commerce site Alibaba, which went public at $168 billion in 2014. It was off the charts. Well, what is this company I'm talking about? Snapchat. And the company will have a ticker symbol, Snap. What is Snapchat? For those of you that don't fall in the demographic of 13 to 24, Snapchat is a camera company, they're calling themselves. I call it a technology company or an app. That's interesting. You can go ahead and snap something you're doing, a place you're at, a moment you're sharing. You can send it to your friends and your contacts directly. They get to see it. It can last anywhere from a second, if you time it that way, up to maybe 10, 12 seconds, 15 seconds, not very long. And then it's gone. It disappears. The person who took the snap does have the ability to save it, but it goes away. Then you can do something else if you want. You can send it directly to a person, or you can create a story so that anybody can see it, and you can let everybody share the moment. And those that decide they want to click on it because they see that you have a story there can click on it. If they don't have time, they won't click on it. Your story will stay there for 24 hours exactly down to the second. So if it's Saturday at 10 a.m. and I'm snapping myself doing a radio show, it will stay there until exactly 9:59 a.m. Sunday morning. You have 24 hours to see it, and then it disappears, and nobody gets a chance. Love it. Fun. You can see somebody's got a story, and you can wait to look at it if you don't have time. Here's the deal. I believe, personally, because I'm not a guy that's easy to win over, it took the 1 billionth user of Facebook, and I'm, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek there, somewhere between 500 million and a billion is where I came into play. I don't easily gravitate to things, so I'm using myself as a test here. And I'm also using myself as a test because I started using this, and then people made these comments like, oh, what are you looking at kids? What are you doing? You're making all this noise about it because they don't know what it is. They just hear that your kids can put something up there and it disappears and you can never see it. You can see it. You just have to follow them. So I got 5 kids. I want to know what they're doing. Why did I get on Snapchat? Because I want to see what they're posting. And in the process, I got addicted. I had a wonderful life moment where I was out with my boys doing some grocery shopping, and my daughter, who I followed, and she followed me, and I would see her snaps, she would see mine. I noticed we were waiting at the checkout line and my boys were laughing. And I said, what's so funny on Snapchat? I didn't, you know, let me see. I have mine. Show me where it is. They're like, oh, it's their sister. And she's with this boy she's now dating. And they're, you know, doing something fun. I don't know, miniature golf or whatever it was. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't have it. What's wrong with my Snapchat? It's not working. And they're giggling. Well, she's got a boyfriend, Dad, now, so she blocks you. I'm like, what does block mean? Well, she can knock you off, meaning you won't, she's not friends with you anymore. Really? How's that work? How come I don't know? Well, you can. You just got to go over here, 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 and here, and you'll see it. Oh, I didn't know that. Get done the checkout line, load the groceries in the car, and we went right to the Verizon store, where I immediately put an end to her account. I never saw the boys as white as I saw them then. What are you doing? You can't do that. You know what that's going to do to her? She's going to freak out. I said, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. Not even a half hour passed before my wife is calling me saying that our daughter borrowed somebody's phone. Her phone's broke. Do we know what's going on? Oh, yeah. Tell her I deleted her account just like she deleted my Snapchat account. And I let that thing brew a good week and a half before she came sawking to me with apologies. Because she's a teenager, so she's going to play hardball. She doesn't need her phone. Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. My point is, we can be afraid of this type of technology, or we can embrace it. And we can have lifetime moments with it. All this stuff's good when used correctly. What I'm finding now is that when I look at who is viewing my Snapchat stories, I now have more baby boomers than I do millennials. My mom called me last weekend. Where were you guys? Nobody picked up their phone. I said, check out Snap. Check out my story, because I rigged her up to it. Thanks, I'll call you later. Fast as I've ever got my mother off the phone. But I'm finding it now connects me with family. I get to see my niece blow out candles in Florida. That in my busy world, I forgot it was her birthday. I'm human. But I got to see it. And I sent back happy birthday to you and got a moment to say that. Vince is my producer, Mr. Millennial. Vince, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve.
You are a Snapchatter. You do. I think you follow me. I mean, we're connected somehow. But
yeah, I've seen some of your things.
Yeah, you don't look at my stuff enough. So what happens? You're a millennial, and because I only have 25 people or so, you must have many, many, and so it gets a little bit complicated?
I've got a few, but you know what? The fact that I have so many people that I'm connected with on Snapchat, it's great. Because the way I think of Snapchat, it's like you said, you know, seeing your niece's birthday. I think of it like a postcard. It's a digital postcard.
You know, right.
You get, it's a 10-second, you know, like you'd get a 2-sentence, hey, we're in the Bahamas, we love it, we're thinking of you. And it's that same thing. Here we are, it's a birthday party, the family's here, they're saying hello, and that's it. It happened just the other day. So my brother lives in New York, and my grandfather, 86th birthday, we had a party. And what did we do? Well, there's Pop Pop, and he's blowing out the candles, and my brother and his wife, they get to see that video. But it's the power of Snapchat.
Unbelievable. It really is. I mean, I get to see a sunset where somebody is. Anyway, lots of fun. So here's the deal. Do you believe in this technology? Do you think it's the real deal? That's my question to you, because I find that I probably spend most of my social media time on, I don't know, maybe I would say, oh gosh, what gets most of my eyeballs from social media? I would say I probably use, no doubt, Snapchat the most.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go to most likely Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. So that's probably my pecking order. But my point is, they're going public. And some are wondering about the future of the company, whether it has what it takes. What's your feel for that?
Well, the interesting thing is it's very different than the other outlets. Like Twitter, people will go there to get their news. And you're getting, for me, I'm a sports guy, so I get all my sports rumors and things. I get that through Twitter. Facebook, people are following certain companies, and they'll get coupons and things off of Facebook. But Snapchat, it's very personal. It's sending videos to your friends. It's seeing the stories of your friends. And when you do anything – when you're following people that aren't your friends, it's more personalities rather than businesses. So mm-hmm. it is a different angle of the market that hasn't quite been seized by anyone else. They really do have something unique and very actively used.
Now, the IPO is scheduled for March 1st. The company said it plans to list 200 million shares on the New York Stock Exchange under ticker symbol SNAP. The range is $14 to $16 a share, which would value the entire company at somewhere between $20 and $23 billion. That's a lot less than Alibaba at $168 billion, but it's still one of the biggest we've seen. Now, here's what happens. You get these kooky analysts out there who are all start to question whether this thing's going to make it. You know, it's got all these problems, right? Snapchat does have some problems when it comes to the economics of Snapchat, right? But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, there are risks that are starting to be magnified. So love the product, love the use. It's almost like Amazon, right? You love the product, you love to use it. But at the end of the day, analysts on Wall Street always argue about the economics of it. And then all of a sudden, here we are a few years later, Amazon's now making money because so many people have made it a part of their life that it works. So almost like deja vu here. Not saying that Snap will be an Amazon, but it's very, very popular at a very, very short period of time. Here are the risks to investors. Facebook. During the roadshow, they talk about risks. And Facebook is a company with a lot of money that can jump into a space quickly and be a game changer. So will Facebook somehow compete with Snapchat on some level? I know Facebook would love to own Snapchat. And at the end of the day, if I had to make just a wild guess, and I can't say I'm making a prediction here, Facebook and Snapchat coming together would be something I could see happening. Now, none of this you should do. I'm not telling you to go out to buy the stock. But at the end of the day, when the company is publicly traded, it opens up an opportunity for Facebook. Because the owners right now, privately held of Snapchat, can get a payday, right? They're going to get the public offering. There'll be a period where they can sell after the cooling off, let the stock move up a little bit, and then somebody can come and buy the publicly traded company. Could happen. Now, here's the other risk to Snapchat. Net loss widened year over year to $514 million in 2016. It had a negative cash flow of $678 million. So they're losing tons and tons of money. Snapchat's also locked into, this is interesting, $3.5 billion worth of contractual commitments. That can be a problem for a buyer because you have to assume those contractual commitments. Now, Snapchat's got a good reason for that. They're saying, look, we've outsourced some cloud stuff and things that we need to make Snapchat a good thing. We find that if we would have got in and did this stuff ourselves, we would be putting a lot of money into something that is a wasting asset, meaning technology is changing so quickly that what they're putting money in to help Snapchat, support Snapchat, would be worth very little than what they put in. So these contractual contracts that are causing them to burn money are with commitments to alphabets like Google, Google Cloud, Amazon. So they have $2 billion to Google Cloud. They have $1 billion to Amazon. They got about another $500 million with others over the next 5 years, the firm said in a recent note. And that can be a problem. That needs to be looked at. To me, best if Snapchat sells and somebody can make the technology even better. Problem is, if Facebook grabs it, will they make it worse? Because it cannibalizes what Facebook is all about, which is now making money. Snapchat still has to be able to make money on top of all this. At the end of the day, Snapchat has 161 million users that put their eyeballs, all 161 million have eyeballs that spend 25 to 30 minutes on Snapchat. And that creates a tremendous amount of value. Question to you, would you buy Snapchat? Would you want to own Snapchat? Or do you want to play with Snapchat, meaning just use it for what it is? That's my call. I like it. I enjoy it. It keeps me connected to family. That's my use. Weigh in. I'd love to get an email from you. Tell me whether you use Snapchat. And if you use it, tell me what you think of it. And if you use it and you like it so much, are you buying the stock? reach out to me, info@cfnplan.com. That's info@cfnplan.com. We have that question up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/cfnplan. Go there and weigh in. Love to hear what you have to say. It's a Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cordasco.
Hey, Rich Dilley here. My friend Steve Cordasco, financial advisor and founder of Cordasco Financial Network, is back with a new retirement guide called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. This guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, how to successfully generate cash flow in retirement, and how to utilize great tax savings strategies. This guide also uncovers the best practices to reduce stock market stress, how to find investment solutions that match your risk tolerance, and how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement. Whether you are taking the first steps to retirement planning and don't know where to start, are in pre-retirement and looking to accumulate wealth, or already retired and looking to preserve your wealth, you should get a copy of Steve Cordasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement, and it's totally free. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, and as in network, plan.com. Go right now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cordasco. Need to talk taxes. As you know, we did part one of tax last week. And I want to get into, as I promised last week, another piece of the tax puzzle. And it's the border tax. Trump is out saying that there will be a border tax. So something comes across our border, it's going to be taxed because we've been offshoring jobs and competition and cheaper labor overseas and different type of quality production overseas. All these arguments go into the fact that it's hurt our job market. And when I say the word fact, I need to adjust that because that's not my belief, right? My belief is not foreigners are taking our jobs. My belief is robots are taking our jobs. Okay? And I'll get into where my argument begins with that, and frankly, I can say it's fact. Over the last 20 years, 80% of the jobs of this country in manufacturing have been lost to robots, technology, not to offshoring. But offshoring and low interest rates, those two phenomenons combined, accelerated the process. I believe, this is not fact, it's just my belief, that today, this moment that you're hearing my voice, is actually the future here today. If interest rates weren't so darn low after 9/11, we drove rates down, and frankly, we've had a series of Fed directives to keep interest rates extremely low to help our economy. We had the financial collapse that parlayed low rates. Those unusual circumstances, once-in-a-lifetime possibly circumstances, that brought rates to the lowest ever in those of us breathing today, regardless of your age, our lifetime, coupled with free trade, NAFTA, that was signed in the 90s with Clinton, those two forces brought us to robots and computers and technology a lot faster here in the U.S. So that said, let's jump into why border tax is going to get a big part of the discussion today. And let me begin, as I map this out for you, with the problem with tax reform. And I know it sounds very negative with the tone that I'm heading in, but the Republican Better Way plan that I scratched the surface on last week, you can go back and listen to that segment to hear about what the tax proposal from the Republicans means to you as an individual. Also, if you're a business owner, what it means to you. We mapped out both fronts there. Also mapped out what it means to you as an investor. I promised today I would get to the border tax. But the problem with all of this tax change is this. We, the people, think that someone other than ourselves are getting a benefit. So when you get massive change in one time, like Trump wants right now, I like it, but I'm very worried about you with it. Because what you and I maybe I can't say me because I tend to see it because I'm in the world of money and taxes in your wallet. But for most good citizens who get up, they want to raise their family, they want to provide their family, they don't want to rely on government for them, they want to be self-sufficient, they go to work, they worship how they want, they try to do the right thing. And in that daily grind, you often don't see what's happening in Washington. And little sneaky little bits and pieces come into the tax code that has created this massive monstrosity that is now strangling our nation. And we voted for change, and you can say what you want to say. You didn't vote for Hillary. You voted for Trump. You don't like him as a person. Look, I'm flat out. I love his policy. I don't like him as a person. I'll go back, and maybe Obama, if I knew him as a person, I might like him. His policy, to me, was the worst in my lifetime I've ever seen because it's a transfer payment system. That's what it was. We're going to pay other people as the government. That's fundamentally wrong. There's where change came in. But all these little things get put into the tax code over time. And so what happens? You got the people on the right saying, transfer payment system, all these things were put in place. There's a perceived benefit. Where's my Obama phone? I worked hard for healthcare all this time. Why does somebody else get to have something? Or why do I have to change for a small group of others? Why does a system exist to create fiefdoms? Small pools of individuals that the government provides for, whether it's transgender, whether it's 10% of the population without health care, whether it's 1% that doesn't have a phone, whatever it may be. The right gets angry at that. Not too angry, but it gets coupled with little sayings like, you got lucky. That other person's a victim. You're fortunate enough to have a job. That person doesn't. You got skills. That person doesn't. That pile on is what's called the noise. So now what you're going to get? You're going to get front and center all these little things that have happened over a number of administrations that have been peppered into the tax code, getting ripped apart, and you're going to see the operation. And I'm worried. It goes like this. You ever watch an interesting Discovery show and all of a sudden they're operating on an appendix and you see the skin cut and the layers of fat and blood shooting out and it's just horrifying. You're squinching, you're covering, you feel your heart. I bet you if you were hooked up to a blood pressure machine, your blood pressure's up, your pulse, it creates an uncomfort feeling, stress and anxiety. That's what I believe this tax reform that we're about to face is going to do. Where am I going with this? Because the border tax is very important to this. Because those who attack a system of change use tactics and noise to scare people. It'll start with our politicians. It'll work its way through the system. The news media will be all over this to make it look extremely ugly. So, let's jump in and talk about really the key to this thing. It's to create jobs, a growing economy, and prosperity. When that happens, we take care of ourselves. There's more opportunity for others. It's worked in the past. the media is going to have a frenzy because none of this happens immediately. So, in my view, we must grow our way out of our problems. And giving more power back to the people is the solution. I believe less tax, more job opportunity, more freedom, and education, period, is what does it. Our tax code today gets in the way of a lot of that. And we need a big fix. So how will government be able to operate? That's the question here, because where this is going to go, this tax reform that cuts taxes leaves a gap of how to pay for things. And it's not paying for an Obama phone. It's not paying for school lunch, right? You can add up all the social programs, meaning, I shouldn't say social programs because the big bite out of this thing is social programs. So let me back up. The big line items of the government right now, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. That's it. That's the monster here. It's massive. And that's covering a large portion of the population, not these little fiefdoms that have been created by the Obama administration. Pockets all over the country of groups that get special help and showcased. This is big groups of people. You have defense in there. And then you're going to have all these little other things that equal into something, but nothing even close to Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and defense. So the question is, how do you fund this? The way it's going to be funded, because last week I told you about all the tax benefits that you can get. If you're a business owner gets, if you're an investor, that you're going to have. Where's the money going to come from? The border tax. The border tax is going to put somewhere between, we're going to lose somewhere between $2.4 trillion over 10 years in revenue to about $200 billion, right? So the number is probably somewhere in the middle there, according to experts. So where's that money going to come from? Border tax. Here's how the border tax is going to work. Businesses that import goods from outside the U.S. will not be able to deduct the cost of those goods from their corporate tax returns. Think about that. Tractor comes in, not doing that. Computers come in from over, not deducting. Companies that export products to other countries, ready for this, will not count as income the revenue received from those exports. Interesting. So it's stimulating exports. So if I'm exporting my product overseas, the income I make off of that is not taxed. Wow. Huge incentive to sell to the world. Bigger market than the United States. But if I bring something in, I can do it. I just can't write it off. The goal is to encourage exports, right, and to discourage imports. Now, most Americans don't realize how different our tax system is from other countries. You might say the argument from the media right now is that we're going to do this and other people are going to hate us. But what happens is almost every nation out there has what's called a value-added tax. It's a tax that comes along at each part of the production line. It's a form of sales tax at every production level. Many have corporate income tax rates that are lower than ours. So those countries are benefiting from stuff that are coming into our country. They have a lower tax than us. I'm a free trade believer. So it comes down to free trade versus fairness. So the argument that Trump can make, oh, we're still free. You're free to sell overseas. You're free to bring it in. We're just making the playing field more level, fair. Will the media showcase that? That's interesting. As you know, the U.S. Runs an enormous trade deficit. Our whole economy depends on imports right now. So, where, who, and what is this going to affect if it happens? I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to tell you what this means to you, just as I'm seeing the argument start to play out. Because all of us, you, me, and the guy over there, will be affected by it. Guaranteed. So stay tuned. I'm Steve Cordasco. It's a Your Life, Your Wealth Network. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt here. Do you have a sound retirement strategy? Have you taken the time to sit down and write a plan for achieving your retirement dream? Sadly, most of us spend more time planning our vacations than our own financial future. I'm here to tell the Delaware Valley a name that most people probably already know. Steve Cordasco. You've been listening to Steve for the last 25 years. You've been reading his articles in the Philadelphia Business Journal, Forbes, TheStreet.com. Steve Cordasco and his team have just come out with a new guide for retirement planning called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's cfnplan.com. The guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, generating cash flow in retirement, tax saving strategies, ways to reduce stock market stress, investment solutions that match your risk, how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement, much, much more. And now for my Hugh Hewitt listeners, I strongly recommend you get a copy of Steve Cordasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go now to cfnplan.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. We're talking about taxes. We're doing this three-part series. Last week, we covered the Better Way program that the Republicans want to put in place that Trump is endorsing, and we'll have his twist to it. Today, and we talked last week what it means to you, what it means to business owners, what it means to investors. Today, we're talking about the border tax, and we're going to apply what the whole tax overhaul is going to mean to you. So, with your life, it's very important because, number one, you're going to want to know what the future is going to look like for you and your kids. How do you talk to your kids about the future? Because this is the first signs that we're going to hear a lot of noise about jobs and the future of jobs. And this is going to be a short-term fix, this massive tax overhaul, because at the end of the day, I do believe technology and robots will be doing a lot of the work. So we need to talk about that. We'll bring that up in a later show. A little too deep to get into here. With your life, though, here's what I am concerned about. Stay with me on this because this ties right to you, right? It's your life, your wealth. For your wealth side, to go there real quick, we're holding pat. We don't know enough yet. We have to wait until the arguments start to take place with regards to what part of this tax reform we're going to get. So we're watching closely when it comes to investing, strategy, things of that nature. We're talking it out. We're talking to business owners about what type of new business structure they would have. I met with bankers this week to talk about getting locked and loaded in case our business owners that we navigate their wealth need to borrow money because they'll be grandfathered on deducting the interest. Talking to lawyers about how structuring businesses will need to look in the future, and the future is within the next 6 to 8 months. So that's the wealth work that I'm doing right now. Nothing can be reacted to because we don't have anything yet. But we are getting what's called locked and loaded when it comes to your wealth. Looking at it from 360 degrees and doing what-if scenarios. We were already talking to our clients. Some want to be philanthropic and give money away to the kids while they're here and see them enjoy it. What's that mean to them? Will they still have that deduction? Or should they go buy a piece of investment, a house, to reduce their taxes instead of giving money away today to a charity? All these things we're strategizing on at the moment that ties to wealth. Now, your life, what's going to happen? Here's my take for you today, because we can only work with what we have today, and we're working with the tax code that's already in place. But here's what's going to happen, and I guarantee it. Regardless of your political view, left, right, somewhere in between, it's going to stress you out. The noise and the fear stroking from the left and the right, and more so the mainstream media, is going to get the best of most of us. You will feel very overwhelmed, lots of different emotions coming in. In the end of the day, somebody's going to scare you to death. And usually, mistakes are made at that time. So what we're going to do here, as this whole thing pans out, think of a Polaroid. We're waving it, trying to see it develop. Remember when you were younger, everybody getting around in a huddle because they wanted to see it, and everybody's jockeying for position? Who's going to be able to see it first? There's going to be a little bit of a frenzy going on. Our job is to calm you down. That's the key. Because we are going to see for the first time, and since we have Trump in office, I'll say it, a royal rumble. It is going to be a freak show with the media. I can see Cuomo now. He'll be barking about, you know, babies, you know, not getting formula. And you're going to have Hannity and the group talking Reagan. But you're going to get some viciousness in this big time. Left, right. And we're going to stay on it. Because all of it means something to you. And really the whole goal is for you to have the best life. And everybody gets offended when massive change happens. Just like healthcare, this tax restructuring is massive, and it's going to have the same polarization that the healthcare issue did. I'm Steve Cardasco. It's a Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I appreciate you listening. Hey, send me your comments. Reach out, info@cfnplan.com, info@cfnplan.com. Also, follow on Facebook, facebook.com/cfnplan. Make it a great week. Thanks so much for being part of the program. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. All of our shows are reproduced as podcasts and can be listened to on demand at your convenience. If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cardasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.